If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
We'll all be waiting for next time. Master's waiting for life. Take it from me, even if you had that cute money. Three girls and you buried Carlisle.
Ah, welcome to Cinematic. Oh, there you go. Singing that song. Isn't it great? What's going on? I'm Damon Turner, along with my my podcast co-host partner, that is Nick Inkstead. We're live in our Irving. We're live in Irving, Texas. I love this studio. Don't you like the studio?
I don't know.
No, yeah, it's great.
Wrong.
It's good. You see, party pooper over there. You know, I'm usually the party pooper, and I don't mind taking that role. I kind of embrace it, but you just killed it.
Yeah, no, we go back and forth between studios. One of them is Taman's home turf. One of them is my home turf. So right now we're in Taman's home turf.
That's right.
With the audio quality, you can judge whose is better.
Wow. Wow. That's rude. I knew I didn't like you. I'm serious.
Yeah. So we got a great show for you today.
Yes, we do. Taman T, the one and the only. I have to put that in there.
And we are brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com. Take a break from, if you're in school right now, this is the grind right now.
I mean, I'm so glad I'm not in school right now.
This is the grind, and you need something to take your mind off of it. You need something to, whisk you away to another place. I mean, if you need to go to, some other world or something like that.
I kind of need that as an adult working. I need a vacation or something. Just saying.
Even if you're adulting, you might need to go to another place. So check out audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/almighty. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from for iPhone, Android, Kindle, and most other listening devices. You can get tons of different books. The Bible, Furious George by George Carl. There's a bunch of cowboy books on there. There's even the inspirational story of basketball superstar Dirk Nowitzki.
That guy's
That's not
good.
The real title, but Dirk is,
that guy's pretty freaking good.
He's about to score 30,000 points. That's by Bill Redman, by the way, or Bill Redman. So to download one of those books or any of the other titles, thousands of other options for free, go to audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, audibletrial.com/almighty for your free audiobook.
I hope you guys do it.
Get something.
Get out of adulting. Get out of schooling. Nick's about to graduate, so he's about to enter the world of adulting. So I can't wait.
I got my foot out the door right now.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to enter that wonderful world of adulting.
Yeah, and I'll do it with audible.com.
Yeah, definitely do it with audible.com. That's the way to go.
So we have Sean Darenthal from the Ode to Odin podcast, another one of our, I think we decided we're cousins, cousin pod.
Yeah, our cousin.
Also on the Almighty Baller podcast network. He does the Ode to Odin podcast about the draft, so we'll talk to him about, who's going to be in that lottery range that the Mavs are in right now. They're sitting at 10th. The Mavericks are they're in a weird spot because they're 10th. So they're two games out of the playoffs, and then they're, they still are in the lottery.
Can I say something?
You can. I actually want you to say this because I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say? what in the world am I going to say?
Go ahead. You're going to say that you are excited about the Mavericks and that you're happy that they're winning and making the playoffs.
Say that. I was not going to say that per se. What I was going to say was the Mavericks, as you mentioned, are in a tough spot because obviously I've been on Team Tank all year. The hard part is that if they miss the playoffs
and
if they miss the playoffs and they finish as the 9 seed, that is going to be the worst. That's just terrible. So if they're in that spot, let's say the playoff spot comes down to the final game, right? If the Mavericks win, they're in. If they lose, they're not in. They better win. They better win. They better not get a 9 seed, and then you're what 15th? Your draft pick is like that. That's terrible.
It's so great that you're wanting the team to win now, finally, after all these weeks. But if the Mavericks do end up not making the playoffs and are like right on the cusp, like right on the edge as they are right now, they're basically the equivalent of those Verizon or the Sprint commercials where they show the map. They show the map of the coverage, and you know that you're in one of those places that's not covered.
Right.
You're like, you're just in a dead, gray
womp,
zone.
Womp,
like,
womp.
So yeah, the Mavericks are two games back from the playoffs, and they'd have to go 15-5 to go 500 for the rest of the way. So
wow, I have something else I have to talk about.
Go ahead.
It's my beef of the week, even though we don't have the music, but it's my beef of the week.
Okay, go for your beef.
My beef of the week actually goes to Mark Cuban. Because he
not surprised.
Mark Cuban says that Russell Westbrook is not an MVP candidate, which is absolutely totally absurd.
He said he's not in the conversation.
That is absurd. That is ridiculous.
That's even more than like not a candidate. Like not even in the conversation.
That is flat out ridiculous. Look, Mark Cuban, I love you. Listen, you turned around the Mavericks back when they were horrible in the 90s. They have a championship under your reign. I love that part of you. But when it comes to Russell Westbrook, you have absolutely no idea what the heck you're talking about. Russell Westbrook is about to become the only player since Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double. The dude is a straight-up boss. If that is not MVP conversation, I don't know what it is. The Oklahoma City Thunder absolutely suck without Russell Westbrook. We see the drop off that comes that came when Kevin Durant left the Warriors. We understand that Russell Westbrook is literally leading this team. So how in the world is this man not an MVP candidate? Because if you have a reason, I want to know. If you have a good reason, let me know. Not just because, as you said to the media, I just like to play around with you guys. Give me a good reason why this man is not an MVP candidate. Not even in the conversation. Man, have you lost your mind?
Do you know where Oscar Robertson finished in the MVP voting when he averaged a triple-double?
I'm curious.
Not one. Not two. Third.
Now, who won it that year?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Oh, it all depends who won.
And they're going to, but they're always going to remember Oscar Robertson. And yes, Russell Westbrook is definitely in the conversation. And If Mark Cuban,
he's my MVP. He's in the got my vote.
No, he's not my MVP. I'm admittedly not a Westbrook guy.
True. Who's your MVP?
Either Harden or LeBron. LeBron could be every single year.
Yeah.
And that seems like a cop-out answer, but it's seriously
why
LeBron.
Why is Harden?
Because look at that team. Harden is playing.
Look at Oklahoma City.
Oh, the Rockets are way better than Oklahoma City.
I know they're better. They have a better
and
team.
And Harden's
the Thunder are not good.
Harden's numbers are just almost as good as Westbrook's.
Yeah, but
He's three points behind and like two rebounds.
But Westbrook is more valuable to the Thunder than Harden is to the Rockets. They're both valuable. Don't get me wrong. Just because I say that Westbrook's more valuable doesn't mean that Harden isn't.
Since when was the MVP actually most valuable player?
It definitely should be this year.
Ends up being best player on best team most years.
I think the reason for that goes back to Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is gone. He's not there anymore, and Westbrook is literally keeping Oklahoma City afloat. He's the only guy there. You got to give it to him.
Yeah, but afloat teams don't win. They don't have MVPs on them. You know, like teams that are just afloat don't normally. I'm just saying history, not by my assumptions, but they don't normally get MVPs. So I'm not sure that's going to happen for him.
I'll put it like this: he is definitely my MVP. He's got my vote. And I will be so upset at some of these voters who go out there and not vote for him. I think that's absolutely absurd.
I would put him third on my ballot.
What? Who's second?
I would put LeBron probably first and then James Harden next.
Why?
LeBron's the best player in the NBA.
Yes, he is the best player in the NBA.
There you go. No. MVP.
Oh, no.
The best player.
Yes, he's the best player in the NBA. No doubt about it. Nobody,
he's the best player.
Nobody denies that. He's the best player in the NBA.
What is
but
it, six
is
finals in a row?
Is he the most valuable? There's a difference between best player and valuable. We're talking about value right now. Right now, Westbrook is the most valuable player to his team.
So now we're giving Russell Westbrook accolades because the rest of his team sucks.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
And
that's
we're
what
diminishing what
valuable.
LeBron is doing because his teammates are better.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's not LeBron as valuable as he is, and he's very valuable to the Cavs. I don't want to doubt that. But Russell Westbrook is more valuable to the Thunder because they suck compared to LeBron James to Cleveland because he has a better roster surrounding him.
Yeah, the MVP has turned into just a weird, like there's like what rules.
Really
like,
in every sport,
like,
too.
What rules are there? You know, like there's, it should be most valuable, like you're saying. Like it should be that, but was Steph Curry like the most valuable player the first year he won it? The second year he probably was.
Yeah,
he was amazing,
incredible
last year.
I mean,
the year before though, he was like 23 points. You're like,
it's one of those
players.
It's one of those things in sports in all sports, really, that it comes down to, is it most valuable or is it best player? That's the question you have to ask. Me personally, I'm going with most value. I think Westbrook's the most valuable player in the NBA right now. But, you know, the guys that you mentioned, James Harden, LeBron, you can obviously, without a doubt, make an argument for that. But I just think Westbrook has more value to his team for that.
I think Russell Westbrook does have the most value to his team. Still think LeBron's the best player.
So, I agree. I 100% agree.
Okay. Another player that has tons of value to his team right now, Seth Curry.
Yo, that dude's
I'm not going to mess it up. Steph and Seth.
Seth Curry. Did you see the SB Nation article?
There was a bunch of articles. Yeah. There was an SB Nation one. There was an ESPN article. There was a Dallas Morning. I mean, there's always Dallas Morning News articles about Seth. But, man, like, he is just killing it. We talked to him last night about, you know, where he is. And, he's just in a good spot. And he's ready to he wants to stay here too, and he likes Dallas. He likes what's going on in Dallas and stuff like that. So Seth, definitely killing it. Also, Damon is Googling Space Jam sounds.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want to do that. I don't want to jinx it.
No, don't.
I'm not going to do it. I don't want to jinx it.
And because he's doing that because people are saying that Seth Curry took like Space Jam.
Ever since the NBA All-Star break, Seth just went, "Give me Steph." You know what Seth did? He had some of Michael's secret stuff. Remember on Space Jam?
Water.
Michael's secret stuff. That's all he had. He had some of Steph's secret stuff.
And in his defense, though, it was cartoon water. So there was definitely something in there. LSD or something.
By the way, Space Jam, one of the best movies of all time.
I love Space Jam.
Absolutely.
Love
it's incredible.
Space Jam.
Incredible. You mix the best basketball player of all time with the best cartoon character of all time. Pure greatness.
Are you talking about Larry Bird?
Oh. I was clearly talking about Muggsy Bogues.
Sean Bradley?
Larry Johnson.
Former Mav Sean Bradley. Shout out to Sean Bradley.
Larry Johnson. Dallas native Larry Johnson.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Dallas. He went to high school.
He never played
for
the Mavericks.
No, but he's from Dallas. He went to high school with my uncle.
With your uncle?
Yeah. He was a senior on my uncle's freshman.
Shout out to Uncle Taman.
Uncle Craig. Shout out to my Uncle Craig.
Another thing we needed to get to, Yogi. Yogi Ferrell, Rookie of the Month.
Boss laugh.
Seriously. I want to play this just real quick, if I can get to it, on my phone, just because it's super fun.
Is this the video you made? Oh gosh.
Don't try to stop me. I'm a papa jumper in his face. Splash a three. Yeah. Ain't nobody stopping. Ain't no stopping Yogi. Ain't nobody stopping. Ain't no stopping Yogi. Pull up for a tray, I could do this all day. One-legged fadeaway, I learned it from the maker.
That was incredible. That was simply incredible.
A bunch of people were upset with me because they're like, oh, that's disgraceful and disgraceful to Chance. That's disrespectful
Wrong.
To Chance the Rapper. I'm like, it's a parody. It's not like...
Right. I'm going to just go full on Donald Trump. Wrong.
Wrong. Sad.
Sad.
We go Donald Trump every week.
All right. Hey, he gives us good reasons.
But Yogi was Rookie of the Month in February. Do you know... Actually, you do know this because I told you before the show, but do you know the last undrafted Rookie of the Month?
Oh my gosh, I just forgot.
You forgot? Oh, good.
I totally forgot.
Good, I'm glad you forgot.
It's a random, who is it? I totally forgot.
2013-14 in April, so it's a short month. So it
Say it, I totally forgot.
Chris Copeland.
Chris Copeland, yeah, okay.
Do you know what team he played for? Oh, come on, this is you.
I have terrible memory.
And this will be, this will make you as happy as anything. Don't look it up. Put your phone down. What teams did Chris Copeland play for?
The New York Knicks.
Nah! Yes!
That was clear.
It was the New York Knickerbockers.
By the way, I'm so glad you brought that up.
I'm sure
I know you know this because we talked about this before we came on the
right,
air.
Right.
Did you hear what happened with the New York Knicks, last night?
I did.
There they didn't play
anything. Did anybody hear it? I don't think anybody heard it.
Yeah, I say this all the time. I say it every year. It's funny on Facebook when it goes to my memories. There's so many memories of status of me just making fun of the Knicks.
There should be.
Yeah, Nick, am I 100% right about this team? This team is a straight up drama comedy.
We
show.
We disagree about many things. This is one thing I do not disagree.
Yeah, this team is.
That's
just,
how right you are.
I don't understand how every single year this team is just a mess. It's a straight mess.
At least they're trying something. If the Warriors had done this, people would have looked at it and been like, oh, they're geniuses.
But see, the Knicks are trying this. They should have done this a long time ago. The thing is that the Knicks are trying
so
this, but it just looks so sad. Like, it's
10
just,
years ahead of anyone else.
Right? But for the Knicks, it just looks sad. It just looks pathetic. It's just like, you guys are just pathetic.
Be like, this is pure. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, which you probably do, but if you don't, the Knicks, what was it, for a quarter or a half?
Yeah, it was for the first half.
The first half, they didn't play any music or any kind of sounds or sound effects or anything during the game. And so it basically made it like a YMCA game or like
your local
like
church,
like the school that I go to, Dallas Baptist University. We have a Division II basketball team, and they're a really good basketball team for Division II, but they're also Division II.
Right.
And so we don't have all the like this, you know, arena stuff and the sounds. Like, we have a PA guy, and we have like sometimes they play music and stuff, like, but it's normally just between timeouts and stuff.
This was
so
like
they don't play anything during the play. So this was like,
this is your local church pickup game where everybody's just dribbling the basketball, just playing.
So basically, the Knicks made their first half the equivalent to my college's Division II basketball game.
Just
experience.
Just that team. And again, I've said it every year. I've made fun of this team for years. When I lived in New York, everybody used to make fun. They got mad at me for making fun of the Knicks so much. Until the Knicks prove me wrong, I will not stop making fun of
I will
this
not
team.
Get mad at you for making fun of the Knicks unless it's against Kristaps Porzingis. That's it.
You know what? I apologize.
He's the only one that's off.
I apologize to Kristaps Porzingis because when he got drafted by the Knicks.
Were you one of those crying kids?
No. I literally laughed at the Knicks so hard when they drafted them.
Yeah.
But he's a really good player. I openly apologize for that. I was wrong. I like Porzingis. But I did say this, though. The Knicks are going to waste his talent.
So all that being said, the last undrafted rookie of the month was Chris Copeland like 3 years ago. And Seth Curry, or not Seth Curry, Yogi Ferrell, actually, Yogi Ferrell,
right.
Yogi Ferrell, whom we will talk about with Sean Darenthal when we bring him on in just a few minutes, talk about him and how wrong he was.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll talk about how right I was about Yogi Ferrell.
Oh, stop.
Said no one.
No one was wrong. In that song, one of the lyrics is, "Who knew I was coming? Get them up in a front office."
Yeah, right? By the way, that's again, one of the lyrics. Yogi became a millionaire in 6 days. I want another trick. I mean, you got some stuff I could use. You got some of Michael's secret stuff I could use. I'm just saying.
I think you'll have to hit the gym a couple times because Yogi is
probably
ripped.
So.
Yogi is
He is.
He is really built for his size.
He is not a weak guy.
No, not at all. Definitely not.
We're the same height, probably, and he's way bigger than me.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Definitely.
No doubt.
So we're going to bring on, just about to bring on Sean Darenthal. The Mavericks are at number 10 in the lottery spots. We're going to be talking to him about who the Mavericks should be targeting in that range right now, if they're going to stay about that. The Mavericks also, we should mention, have a 4% chance to get a top three pick. Four. That's the percentage.
Uh-huh.
You're all Team Tank over there. You're not getting excited about percentages. This is the life that you live if you're Team Tank. It's all about percentages and the lottery.
Oh, God.
You live for these.
Oh, God. It would be funny. I mean, if we did, like, if we stick with this 4% and we somehow still get the number one pick.
I will bring up with Sean that the 2014 Cavs were the ninth spot. So what does the ninth spot have? The ninth spot
has 12?
Has a 7.9% chance to get top three and a 2.2% chance to get top. What were you saying? 12%?
I guessed wrong.
No, okay. And then the Mavericks would have, since they're at number 10, they would have a 1.1% chance to get into the top number one overall selection spot. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance?
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance?
Seriously, that is the smallest of chances. So let's talk to Sean. Let's bring up some of these draft prospects, and let's get smarter.
Word up.
On the phone right now, we're pleased to welcome Sean Darenthal from the Ode to Odin podcast, one of our Almighty Baller Network brothers, I guess. What are we, brothers, siblings, cousins?
Yeah, distant cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Distant cousin. When we're the opposite of twice removed. We're like just added, so.
Yeah, and nobody knows how that works anyway, right? Like the removal stuff. So we're basically not even related. Like, I like you guys, but like.
Exactly. Yeah, the Ode to Odin podcast, talking all about NBA draft stuff. So we figured we might as well bring on Sean, because this may be the worst time to bring on Sean for a Mavericks podcast, because the Mavericks are killing it right now. However, if the Mavs do make the playoffs, then there's no point in doing a draft podcast because they're not in the lottery anymore.
But by the way, where do you stand, Sean? Do you think the Mavericks will make the playoffs, or do you think they won't?
I mean, it's pretty hard to imagine, I think, that they do. I know that's probably not the most popular thing to say. Or maybe you guys are, like, pro-tank. I don't know. But who you have ahead of you. Like,
oh, Sean.
Game, right? Sean. And then you have Denver ahead of you, who's probably the favorite to get that seed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Denver's ahead of us, and Portland's, a half game ahead of us?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. No, all year, Nick and I have been team playoff, team tank. I'm team tank, Nick's team playoff. And things are getting a little interesting as the playoffs fade.
Taman has just totally flopped in the last 2 weeks or so.
I wouldn't say all that.
It's totally flipped.
I do love this young core that the Mavericks have.
I said at the beginning of the year, the Mavericks are going to start getting frisky. They're going to bring in some young guys. It's going to be fun. And you're going to want them to make the playoffs.
The funny thing is, you didn't even expect this, though. You didn't expect Yogi pan out.
We're being rude to our guests.
So are you guys both losing? Because you're not going to get a high pick, and you're probably not going to make the playoffs either. Like,
you know what? Probably.
Yeah, right?
in all honesty. So Taman and I, admittedly, don't know a ton about these lottery guys. I mean, we're not really guys that dive straight into the draft and, you know, get real deep in it and, like, know how to pronounce Frank Nilatina's name. Like,
yeah, the guy from France.
Yeah, closer than a lot of people. Good job.
And but you are. You're a guy that's in it. So where the Mavs sit at 10 right now in the tanking standings, so which is what I refer to as the upside down of standings, because looking at it from the other way. With the Mavs at 10, who should they be looking at right now? What guys are going to fall in that range?
Well, actually, that guy that you mentioned, Frank Ntilikina from France, he's a point guard, like a 6'5", super long defensive specialist kind of guy. I actually have him in, like, my top five pretty squarely. I'm going to try to get some of my more familiar international buddies to kind of talk me off that ledge, but I've seen a ton of him from FIBA. I try to watch as many SIG games as I can, the French team that he plays for right now, and I like him a lot, but kind of just consensus, draft, media, whatever, they have him kind of in that 10 range or even below that. So he's somebody I think that could potentially fall to you guys. Other names you might just want to keep an eye out for, Robert Williams, Robert Markkanen. I don't know. Are any of these names ringing a bell?
No. Where do you watch TikTok games like that? Are you, like, searching the internet for shady live streams? Or, like, where do you watch French games
ESPN
like that?
ESPN 3.
4, 5.
No, I pay for everything that I do. I've never been on the shady. No, of course. Like, I don't even think. I don't even know if they have, like, an NBA league pass or something like that. I know they do for EuroLeague, but
yeah.
But yeah, Dennis Smith. Actually, a lot of the there's like two things that a lot of the teams over there compete in. There's like a country league that they compete in, so, like, you know, basically like the French version of the NBA or whatever. And then there's like a European organization that they compete in, and there's tiers of those. And usually, a lot of those games are actually legally, they just put them up on YouTube. So wow. You can find any of this stuff on YouTube, actually.
Sean, let me ask you this. I'm not going to pronounce his name, but Frank, yeah, let's just go with that. On NBAdraft.net, he's compared to Gary Payton. Is that a good comparison or is that a little much?
Well, I am. If I am able to persuade some of your listeners to come over and listen to my podcast,
yeah,
they'll quickly find out that I am, like, really anti-comparisons. I know that's, like, a really easy, like, layman's way to kind of get a feel, like, aesthetically how they play for, like, body type, that kind of thing, position, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But that's a decent comparison on the defensive side. Ntilikina is definitely longer than Payton was.
Wow.
He's not the athlete, but his defensive instincts are completely off the chart. Somebody else, De'Aaron Fox was billed as this super lightning quick point guard, plays for Kentucky. Right. Most of you guys probably know who he is.
Yeah.
He was billed as the defensive perimeter prospect coming into this. And he's been surpassed by several guys, but none better than Frank Ntilikina. He an absolute stopper. Like, at the point of attack, he swallows guys. And I think that he could reasonably guard ones and twos. And if you have a switch heavy system, he could guard threes pretty easily. Offensively, not a lot like Gary Payton. He doesn't have great vision. He makes kind of the basic passes really well. He understands the intent of sets really well. You know, if you put him in a really purposeful kind of position, he can make, you know, a read based on, you know, one or two defensive players, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's not the Lonzo Ball. He's not, you know, he doesn't have this like elite kind of vision. His handle's getting tighter, but there's still kind of a work in progress. The best thing that he gives you on offense is catch and shoot jumper. He's improved a ton this year from three. And I think always in FIBA when he was playing against guys his age. So, just the FIBA stuff is like the U16, U17, that kind of stuff.
Right.
He was always shooting pretty well in that scenario, and it took him a little while, you know, playing against grown men to kind of start shooting at the percentage that you would see there. But I think his shot is real. And then the defense that he gives you, I think, makes him maybe a better comparison, might be like a better Patrick Beverley, a taller, longer Patrick Beverley, except for have to take away that, you know, the quote unquote dog, that insane motor that Beverley has, you know, not many people have, and Frank doesn't have that.
Yeah, you're saying that Frank doesn't have the kind of the court vision or the, you know, the passing that Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz has.
Yeah.
That is until Rick Carlisle gets a hold of him. We'll see. We'll see how that changes for sure.
Well, that's the dream scenario for sure, right? Carlisle for sure.
Exactly. Who else would be in that range for the Mavericks if they stood right now at number 10?
I like somebody named Robert Williams. He's a freshman and somebody that wasn't highly recruited out of high school. So like almost nobody knew his name, and he wasn't on any draft boards coming into the season. He's a 6'9", power forward /5. Like, I think his ideal position is the 5. He's really, really long, though. So he makes up for that kind of lack of ideal height with, I think, like a 7'4", 7'3", wingspan.
There yeah, Draft Express is 7'4", dang.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty insane. Really, really light jump. Like, meaning, you know, that second jump is just as high as the first jump. Quick, mobile athlete on the perimeter. Can definitely play in the switching style, you know, kind of a la Nerlens Noel. I mean, not at that level, probably,
right.
but pretty close. And there are flashes of skill on offense. The shot is definitely not there yet, but from three, he has some natural touch. He shows kind of some heady plays on, like, cuts and stuff like that. The problem is, at Texas A&M, where he plays now, he plays a lot at the four, sometimes with another big man who dominates the post. He's just a big-time post player, and he might be their best player. So he's not getting, like, the ideal scenario to really evaluate this guy for an NBA fit. Sometimes he even has to play the three just because how important he is on defense. But his block rate's insane. His steal rate's pretty good. And those two things are like really, really good statistical indicators of how you'll be at the NBA level, you know, as much as there are good statistical indicators of that. So he's somebody that's really, really interesting, kind of not polished on offense, but on defense shows a great promise, I think. And then there are flashes of offensive game. So he's unique and intriguing. I don't know if the fit in Dallas makes a ton of sense with Nerlens Noel, but
yeah.
Definitely somebody who has a lot of value at 10, I think.
Yeah, shooting 6% from three is probably not. But if the Mavs can get, if you're saying that he's his comparison, even though you admitted that you don't like comparisons very much. If you got a Nerlens Noel type guy, I mean, 48 minutes of Nerlens Noel, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The Mavericks can put both those guys on there.
Not that quite level of defender, sure. I don't think, probably. Obviously, I think Nerlens Noel is probably, you know, top 5 percentile of NBA defenders. Like, I think he's that good.
Wow.
Robert Williams does not have that kind of ceiling, right?
Right.
But at 10, he's pretty interesting for sure.
Sean, let me ask you this, because on NBADraft.net, the Mavericks are they're saying that the Mavericks should go after De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky. What are your thoughts on him?
Run, kicking and screaming.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I know that sounds like a super hot take, but
wow.
Amongst like the nerd draft community, I think that his archetype is something really scary. He's a non-shooter, and you
ooh,
know,
that every, won't work. No.
Everybody loves to say, oh, if he could only get a jump shot. Well, his jump shot's so far off that...
So he's Rondo?
He's the worst Rondo, for sure. Like, he doesn't have the good things that Rondo has. He comes with a motor on defense and is, like, lightning quick, but he's really, really light and he has a tiny frame, so he'll add some strength, but probably not much. And I think that that is probably one of the more underrated defensive qualities. You know, I mean, he's just going to get plowed on drives. It's going to be really difficult for him to, like, bother shots at the rim on other driving guards. Switching onto twos he can do, but onto threes there's just probably no way. And on offense, he makes some of the obvious passes really well. He's a fine passer. Like, I don't want to say that he can't do that at all, but
right.
He's a point guard, and he doesn't have, like, so he doesn't bring great vision. He doesn't bring almost any shooting. The finishing is super predictable. And kind of his best attribute on offense, I think, is that, you know, he has a great motor, and he likes to push it a lot. And in the break, he makes pretty good decisions. But beyond that, I don't think there's a lot of good things to say about him. He's definitely gonna be that guy that I think that you should be a little bit disappointed if your team drafts him, like, in the top 15 or so. I think he's probably a project that should go after that.
Wow. And Draft Express has him at 8, so they're a little, you're a lot lower on him than they are right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how that will change as it gets closer. I mean, he's one of those guys that's super athletic, and that, you know, people will give the label of, like, you know, the quote-unquote upside, you know, the highest ceiling in the draft, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And on quickness alone, he might be the quickest guy in the draft. But, yeah, at the NBA level, it's a lot more than that, obviously.
Yeah, so if the Mavericks do end up, let's say they don't make the playoffs, they're still in the lottery, and they make one of these 2014 Cleveland Cavalier jumps, you know, into the top pick or top three. Of those guys, Fultz, Ball, you mentioned Dennis Smith, maybe Josh Jackson, some of those guys. Of those point guards, though, who should the Mavs target?
Well, I mean, if you get the number one pick, it's Fultz all the way. I don't think it's particularly close. There are a lot of guys that will say Lonzo Ball is kind of competing in that same tier with him. I don't think so. I think that a lot of the traits that Lonzo Ball brings, although he probably is more of, like, the quote-unquote basketball genius than Fultz is, for sure.
Interesting.
He doesn't have the physical gifts that Fultz has. Fultz is really, really athletic. I think he's even deceivingly athletic because of how he kind of bends at the hip. He's kind of like this Gumby-style athlete that is kind of more of a smooth athlete than an explosive athlete. But in terms of just changing pace, you know, on pick and rolls, the kind of the hesitation stuff, he's as quick as anybody there besides maybe Dennis Smith in this draft, and you know, he can score on pull up threes, which obviously maybe is the most important shot in the game for point guards at this level. If you can do that, you can really, really change how your offense works. Great vision, like, really kind of unique passer, not on Lonzo Ball's level, but kind of just a tier below, I think. And defensively, he's just going to be better. He's going to be a little bit quicker than Ball is. Ball has a little bit of a height, but as far as length, I think Fultz is right there with him. So, yeah, I think Fultz is definitely that guy. If you get number two, then it gets interesting, because I think here is, like, a good debate between Lonzo Ball and Josh Jackson. I kind of touched on already, Lonzo Ball is, like, the genius of this class, the natural, right? people worry about his shot. I'm not really worried about the shot. I know it looks funky, but the release at the end is fine. A lot of people talk about how it's, like, a little low. I'm not sure how much I buy that. He shoots from such a range that in the NBA, if you take a three, you're usually pretty wide open, or you don't take it at all. Most of, like, the studies say that. So I guess I'm not worried about the low release. A lot of people talk about pull-up going left or whatever. I'm not super worried about that either. I think, you know, these are kind of minor concerns.
Right.
Overall, I think you're going to get, like, a really, really smart defender, somebody who helps a lot on block, like, protects the rim from the backside a lot more than you think, a good rebounder because of his length, and just all around super smart, makes up for whatever athletic deficiency he might have, I think, in that area. The one thing you have to worry about is getting all the way to the rim. Fultz gets all the way to the rim, no problem, finishes really, really well. Ball, that's kind of the big problem with his game. So,
and last question for you. How wrong were you about Yogi Ferrell? Because he's amazing.
Well, I will I will definitely admit, like almost everybody, right?
Right, yeah.
We're standing on the wrong side of history.
I got it right. No, stop.
Yeah, he he's definitely interesting. Somebody who I think bucked a lot of the trends that you can usually count on. Size in the NBA matters, and it's rare that you can overcome that. And I will always bet against size. Like, I will always do it because you're the exception if you make it. And just because Isaiah Thomas and Yogi Ferrell are doing it and Tyler Ulis had like a good game last night, it doesn't mean that now it's okay for everybody to be small. But Yogi definitely always been lightning quick and has always been a good shooter. Interesting and super fun for you guys right now.
Yeah, it was that off the dribble 3-point shot that you mentioned earlier that made me think about him, because he can really hit that shot.
Yeah, big time, big time.
Sean, real quick, where do you see his ceiling being? I know you don't like comparisons. You already admitted that, but where do you see his high point going to be? Like, what player is he going to be like as you don't compare them?
Excellently formed question.
Well, gun to my head, this like super realistic scenario that we were talking about with a gun to my head talking about NBA prospects.
Right.
That's a super good question. I don't know. Well, help me out. Who is like a probably below average starter? Like, if we had to list point guards, he's a starter on like maybe the bottom 10 teams in the league or something like that.
I personally said his ceiling is his teammate, JJ Barea.
Interesting. I really like that, actually. As a Thunder fan, I am obligated to hate Barea so much. in 2011, when it was just like the Barea Dirk high pick and roll that just completely destroyed us in the Western Conference Finals or whatever it was, like, that was the most devastating play, I think, that whole playoff run. And yeah, so I completely hate Barea, but I think that comparison's really not that bad, except for that Yogi could probably be a much better defender just because of he's actually really strong.
Yeah.
And that makes up for some of the length problems on defense. He's not going to be he's not ever going to be a great defender, but I think he's going to be a better defender. I think probably already is a better defender than JJ.
Yeah, he was also all Big Ten, like all defense in the Big Ten in his senior year of college. So, at least he's got some reputation of defense. So if he figures it out
the
in the NBA.
And intelligence have always been there for sure.
Yeah, so... personally, I think Yogi's ceiling could be Isaiah Thomas, but very optimistic. Their rookie seasons are very comparable in the games that they started for their teams. So you can look that up. I'm working on something for that for the site.
Okay.
It's the Ode to Odin podcast. You can check out Sean there, all of his draft takes, all of his non-comparisons. So if you're looking for comparisons, don't listen to Sean. good stuff, though. Thanks so much for joining us, Sean. We'll talk to you again when the draft gets closer.
Thanks much, Sean.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the Mavs Fanatic podcast. Again, you can check back if you're listening to us on the Almighty Ballin' Podcast Network feed. Subscribe to us, please, Mavs Fanatic. And also check out MavsFanatic.com. Got some really good coverage, all things Mavericks. From a fan's perspective, we got some reporters. We got guys with credentials that are actually there every single day covering the team. Almost every single day,
Close enough.
And also follow me and Taman. Our Twitter handles will be in the description, so just tap those links. It's super easy. Go ahead and follow us. Also, again, just to remind you, audibletrial.com/almighty. Check it out there. Grab yourself a book. Listen up.
Remember, folks, as I say in every single podcast, aim it is right, Nick is wrong. Keep listening.
Sure. See you guys.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.